Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Very Rarely Pomp and Always on Vacation, Joe. Austin Limits to my left. We're having a fine time today, are we not, Limits?
Yeah, this has been one of the funner. I love using the word funner, even though it's not an actual word.
Yeah, it fits.
Shows in a while, yeah. It's been good.
I've enjoyed it. And the fun continues with Mr. Jeff Hathorn. How fun was the Narduzzi news conference today, Jeff?
Oh, barrel of laughs. He did ask for something, though.
What?
He needs somebody to buy him some ribs. So after the game, he has ribs. He says they do the Panther walk right by all the ribs. He smells them pregame, but no one's ever brought some for him. So he's looking for someone to bring ribs to him after the game. Hopefully, for Pitt's sake, it's not Duquesne.
Well, I figured he might be sad today because it's his first season in years without Jerry DePaula, right? Jerry retiring off that beat.
He and EJ. It's like
and
two of
EJ,
the most shouted
right.
out. Two of the most shouted out people in those news conferences, and he's not there. By the way, Joe, is it true that Greg Brown shot a cannonball at you?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Were you listening to that?
I just heard about it, and I heard the end of the last segment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened there. I think it was actually Pony poisoning the waters and throwing Greg off. He didn't know where to go. Big surprise there, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to ask Greg about that. I was taken aback. I don't know. I didn't know what to make of it.
I think he just wanted to move on.
I think he did. He didn't know. That's the moral of the story. He didn't know what Pony was up to and Malzy and just wanted to move on. So he gave sort of a nervous laugh and moved on. Limits, is that your ultimate conclusion there?
Yeah, it is. So he just didn't want to talk about that at all and thought probably best if I just avoid this topic.
Yeah, maybe. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What do we have here, Jeff, with the Pitt football team? I was golfing this morning at Moon and ran into a booster who said 10-2. They're going to be way better than people think. Eli Holstein's
wow.
really good. I think 7-5, but there's a lot of guys on that team I have no idea about. I have to see a couple of games before I make any conclusion. What do you think? What do you think of this team?
Well, Joe, if you look at the schedule, there's probably two games you're really skeptical of them winning. Notre Dame at home and at Miami. Beyond that, you like their defense. You know their linebackers are playmakers. You think their defensive line is going to be better. So let's just say defense is going to be good. It's the second year with the offense. They now understand the tempo. They've kind of conditioned for it now. They've got a returning quarterback back. They've got an All-American in Dez Reed. To me, it's two things. Can they run the ball when they need to? Beyond Desmond Reed, will somebody else step up as a running back? And then secondly, can they get some big plays out of some receivers? They hardly had any big plays from receivers last year. All the big plays were Dez Reed.
Yeah.
So can one of those receivers step up and be a threat? If that's the case, I think their offense will be better, even though they scored a lot of points last year. I think they'll be better against good teams, and I think they've got a chance to win 9 games.
Who's a newcomer that we don't know about? We already know they have 2, 3, 4 pretty good players, including one really good one. But who don't we know about, Jeff, who could be sort of a newcomer to watch?
How about Blue Hicks?
I like the name.
What's that name?
Yeah.
Right? And he said he came to Pitt because their colors had blue in it.
I'm starting to like him more.
Right? And the guy, he's a speed burner. So you get him out in open space, he can get vertical really quick. So that could be that guy that could provide some of those big plays on the outside. Another one, a more quiet one to watch out, is a guy named Jeff Percy. He's going to be the left tackle. He came from Michigan. He won a national title at Michigan, and now he's playing his last year here at Pitt. And they had some issues at left tackle. Ryan Bear is going to move back over to the right. You provide that type of protection that you expect from him, and you feel better about that offensive line too.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Jeff Hathorn, we're talking to right now. All right, Jeff, moving on to Penn State. Because I was tasked by the Post-Gazette for their college football preview, they said write a Penn State column. So I was thinking and thinking and talking to people and finally came up with this. They still have an Ohio State problem here. You're Buckeyes, and Jeff is an Ohio State grad and a Buckeye fan. Am I safe to say that, Jeff?
That's safe, yes.
Your Buckeyes are still pretty good. I realize they have a question mark at quarterback. They also have a five-star recruit named Julian Sain at quarterback. They may have the best offensive player and defensive player in the whole country. They're going to have a really good defense. All they do is reload on defense. They didn't bring in just nobody to replace Jim Knowles, who James Franklin stole from Ohio State, which was awesome, I thought. Adds drama to this. Really, Knowles called Franklin and said, you know, do you have a job opening here? Because he felt disrespected in Columbus. They bring in Matt Patricia, who, as long as he's not your head coach, is a pretty good football coach. Two Super Bowls for old Pencilier as the defensive coordinator there. They're going to have the best wide receiver room in the country at Ohio State. James Franklin's 1-10. Now, they could win the national championship and still lose to Ohio State twice, believe it or not, Jeff. Once in the regular season and once in the Big Ten championship. But I wouldn't recommend that route. I still think Ohio State is better than Penn State. What do you think of that?
I think Ohio State's talent may be slightly better. They have a star receiver, a guy who's probably going to make an impact at the next level at Ohio State. But, man, when you're a team and you could start with a quarterback that's been in your system for years, what an advantage you have, especially early in the season, than most every other team, to have a guy with that many starts at your program. That's where I really like Penn State this year. And I know that game is going to be in Columbus, and that is that game. I mean, when John Cooper was at Ohio State, he couldn't beat Michigan, and that game would consume him. I don't know if it's that way, especially for Franklin. All those games have been tight. It's just that they made a play when they've needed to, or Ohio State has made a play when they've needed to. I really like Penn State. I'm bullish on them being in the national title game. I think they're talented. They've got playmakers. They've got depth in the backfield, and like I said, when you've got a quarterback that's been there for a while, like Drew, a guy who, I mean, maybe this is passe now because of the way he acted about Shador, but I know Mel Kiper thinks he's potentially the best quarterback in the draft coming up.
Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, don't get me wrong here. You have to like Penn State's talent, and I do too, but they have an Ohio State problem. And I think it boils down to the coach, honestly. Ryan Day tends to beat good teams. Franklin doesn't. Here's some of the numbers. Day is 7-6 against top five teams. Franklin is 1-15. Day is 15-8 against top 10 teams. Franklin's 4-20. Day is 24-9 against top 25 teams. Franklin is 16-28. And they have absolutely, and this was with Jim Knowles as the Ohio State defensive coordinator, they have absolutely just throttled Drew Aller in two games. I think Penn State is 4-27 on third downs. Limits is chomping or maybe champing at the bit here. He wants to say something. He's raising his hands, or at least one of his hands, like Horshack in the old show Welcome Back, Cotter. You remember that, Jeff?
His white-out hands, yes.
Yeah.
I would like to thank the teacher for calling on me. Jeff, I believe that this is national championship or bust for Penn State, and if they don't win it all, it's a failed season regardless of how it's done. Do you agree with that?
I think it's national championship game or bust. Obviously injuries, you know, if there's a rash of injuries or things like that can, you know, it's hard to give an absolute, but yes, I would think for Franklin, if they don't reach the national championship game, the questions are going to grow deep. I'm not saying he's going to be fired. I don't know that base well enough, but the frustration will be so high that maybe someone will say, here's some money. Let's go in a different direction, because they've been there. It's not the recruiting that's been the issue. Joe, as you mentioned, they just haven't won those games against those teams.
Yeah.
And if they don't do it this year with the advantage it seems like they have, then it may be time to look in a different direction.
I think I agree with you that if Penn State, I think it's reach the national title game. Because as we were saying, if they get there and they play a great game against Clemson or something and they lose, okay. I even think if they get back to the semis and play another great game, I don't think he will or necessarily should be in any danger. But I mentioned the limits the other day. If Penn State loses in the first round or loses their first game, I think he will get fired. Limits disagrees. Do you think he would if they lost in the first round as a favorite?
If they're at home and they were to lose to SMU, which obviously didn't happen, but if that would have gone the other way or would go the other way this year with all the expectations, I think that's on the table. Yes. I mean, I don't know what the buyout is. I don't know. You can get so far and you just have enough. We see it in all kinds of sports where teams get to the edge and they never get over the top. And if Penn State can't get over the top or at least reach the mountain again this year, I would think a lot of those fans are going to want change.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Sunny today and a high of Joe Green, 75. Great weather for me to golf. Maybe I'll do it again. Have a doubleheader. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, Jeff, in about a minute and a half here, Will Howard, Cabali thinks he could be headed toward a lost season. What say you? What's happening here? Are the Steelers doing the right thing by putting him on IR and keeping Skylar Thompson for the time being? What's your opinion?
I think they are, because they don't know necessarily how bad or how long it's going to take to rehab, and this team has lofty goals, and Skylar provides you with a third stringer that started a playoff game before. What a rarity it is in the NFL to have that. Remember this with IR. They don't have to say right now what the deal is with him. So if they don't have a lot of injuries early, then maybe they roll that dice with him coming back. Where I have a problem with him coming back early is that, don't you want to save some of that in case TJ's going to miss 2 weeks so you can have a short-term IR or Cam or whomever? I don't want to burn one of your 8 short-term, now 7 because Trice is taking one, short-term IRs on a guy that you hope doesn't play for you this year. As much as the practice would be valuable for him, I think it's going to be what other kind of injuries are they dealing with over the course of the year. Like, I don't think Holcomb last year would have gotten the opportunity to try to come back at the end of the year if they had used up. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have done that earlier to try to do that. It's just they had him available. They were going to give him some practice reps. I think that's the same thing with Howard, that they'll wait and see how other injuries go before they make that decision.
Limits, I got an email from somebody. I want to know where Jeff stands here. The little miniature corns, Jeff, the little corn cobs that you get on plates sometimes with Chinese food, for example. I got it last night. But it's in other things. Other people have taken to this. It's like a tiny little minuscule corn cob, the size of a toothpick. Why do they exist? And how did this come to be? This came to be a conversation earlier, and somebody pictured Kenny Pickett with his tiny hands eating one of those like a regular piece of corn. So we started calling it Kenny Corn. Jeff, have you ever in your life thought, man, I can't wait to order that thing because it's going to come with some Kenny Corn? Does anybody like these things?
it intrigues me when it comes, because you got that whole mixture of different things that come in some of these stir fries.
Right.
So I'm always kind of excited when I see the mini corn because I don't know what it is. I just dip it in some soy sauce and I think, what the hell?
Do you
hell?
Like it? It doesn't have any taste. It's unmatured corn. It's an unmatured corn cob that just got thrown in there. It feels like originally because it was extra and wasn't needed or wanted. And somebody said, what are we going to do with these immature corn cobs? And they don't taste like anything.
It's a nice surprise in there. I mean, you're looking over the other vegetables and it's like, okay, there's broccoli. I've had that. There's whatever. And oh, look, it's a little corn on the cob.
It's Kenny corn.
It makes me happy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Joe.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.